Good morning. So many beautiful readings to talk about. But I want to focus on one phrase of the dialogue between Peter and Jesus from the gospel. And then from there, hopefully back in briefly into the first reading. Jesus corrects Peter with these words, "You're thinking not as God does, but as human beings do," right? Jesus boils down his judgment of Peter's way of thinking and acting and challenging him, saying, "God forbid this should happen to you." No, Jesus's reaction to Peter, his beloved, the one he knows needs to be the rock on which he builds everything. There's a way of thinking here, Peter, that needs addressed. You're thinking not the way I think, not the way God thinks, but as human beings do. Now, it could seem unjust in one level. He's like, well, Peter's a human being, so he's thinking the way human beings do. Like, is that an expectation of Jesus is too much for Peter? I think not at all, because actually what Jesus wants for Peter is him to be more than a human being. He wants him to be a saint. He wants him to be the rock. He wants him to be the model. He wants all of that for him, but he also wants it for us, and he knows it's key to challenge Peter in that. And then, as we know from the gospel, he not only challenges Peter, but then he turns to the crowd and teaches them the very same principle, right? As he turns to them, he says, "Hey," summoned the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "Whoever wishes to come after me, deny himself, take up his cross and follow me." There's good news in that, though, that this implies Peter and us, we're capable of thinking the way God thinks. We're capable of having the mind of God. Imagine that. We as limited human creatures can access the divine mind, the divine way of thinking, right? Which is new. Jesus brings, this is a novelty. Remember in the Old Testament, those phrases, even in Isaiah, we read Isaiah in the first reading, another chapter of Isaiah where he questions, who can know the mind of God? Who can understand his spirit? Like, it's so far beyond, who can even pretend to know it? And Jesus implies we can know it. Now, certainly we cannot know all of God's mind, right? But what we do know of God's mind can be 100% correct. His mind is so far beyond ours. But what we access, what we do know, we can know completely. We can know what God has revealed in Christ. That passage of Isaiah 55, nobody has ever known God's mind as being created by him. We lack any capacity to fully grasp his thoughts. Yes, fully? Yeah, we can't fully grasp God's thoughts, but we can grasp fully some of them. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, "Who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ," Paul says. We have Christ's, we know through Christ what God thinks. We can know his mind. He has revealed what God has. In fact, he's revealing it to Peter. Peter, right now, this way of thinking, not only is it not from God, it's just as human beings do, but he prefaces, like, "Get behind me, Satan," implying almost this way of thinking, yes, it's human, but it's the diabolical side of human tendency. It's sin. It's a satanic way of thinking. And what is it that Peter is thinking that Jesus challenges? God forbid. God should be a, this can't happen to you. What can happen to you? The cross, the suffering, what Jesus is predicting will happen. No, that can't be the plan. God can't be in that. That should never happen to you. That conviction that no, this can't be the way God works. Jesus challenges that, says, no. You have to learn to be open. In fact, not is it the way God can work, it's the way God does work, and God wants to work, and it's his mind. God's mind for the solution to sin, to man's rebellion, is the cross. We just celebrated yesterday the triumph of the cross. Today we're not celebrating liturgically, but we know the 15th were to fall on another day of the week, we'd be celebrating Our Lady of Sorrows, right? This mystery of suffering and of the cross is God's mind, part of God's mind. The resurrection is part of God's mind. There's lots of things in God, but certainly one of them is this. And I find this struggle of Peter is our struggle often. How many times when we experience the cross, suffering, difficulty, we look at the world, we see sin, we see like, God forbid, it shouldn't be this way, right? People shouldn't suffer. The innocent shouldn't suffer. Like, we struggle to understand where is God in the cross, right? And Jesus comes primarily, to save us from our sin, but also to reveal the mind of God. I love this first reading, and this is where we kind of back in. I don't know where they put our first readings. Maybe I'll be able to find it here. St. Bernard's got big books here. The Lord God opens my ear that I may hear. This is the prophecy about the suffering servant. Jesus, I can hear God. I know his mind. The Lord God opens my ear that I may hear. And then what? In hearing, I have not rebelled like Peter will. I have not turned back. I'm going towards what God asked. I'm not turning back from it. I've heard it. And then the very next line, I gave my back to those who beat me. Wait a second. That's where God's leading you? Plucking at my beard. Like the suffering that this will implies, again, for the salvation of the world, to redeem humanity, to overcome with my yes, the no of humanity against God. Yes, that's what God's asking of me. I've heard it, and I'm not turning back. I'm not rebelling, right? I'm going to allow it. I'm going to embrace it. I'm going to accept it. And the beautiful thing is this passage continues. It's not a defeated Jesus like, oh, well, I guess we just have to endure this. He's like, no, I get it. I've heard. I understand. I'm a participant. I'm not surprised by it. God forbid this should be the way. No, I'm engaged. The Lord God's my help. I'm not disgraced, goes on to say. Like, don't look at me and say, oh, you poor thing. No. I'm not living it that way. The Lord's my help. I'm not disgraced. I've set my face. I'm going for it. I'm directed like flint. I can take these hard, crushing blows and create spark, create fire, create warmth. It doesn't destroy me. This is actually a creative, redeeming process that God sets me on. I know I shall not be put to shame. I'm not confused by all this, nor should you be if you have the mind of God. He's near who upholds my right. So many of us tempted in these moments of when we embrace the cross, experience that, where is God? Where's God in all this? Jesus doesn't live it that way. He is near who upholds my right. If anybody wishes to oppose me, if you question this, if you have a different opinion, you want to oppose me on this, let's talk. Let's appear together, right? Who disputes this, my right? Confront me. Let's talk about it. See, the Lord God's my help. Who will prove me wrong? He's convicted. He's convinced. He's peaceful. He's decided as he embraces the cross. And so should we. That's the mind of God. That's the wisdom of God. Jesus had an open ear. And I love the psalm also, the Lord hears me when I call him, is what the psalm said. So it's not just God speaking and I hear him and then I do it, but also I can speak my mind, my heart to the Lord, and he hears me, he listens, he consoles, he guides, he teaches. Patiently and loving, enduring the cross that the Lord asks of us, that fidelity to God, that adherence to truth, that confidence in him and his plans is the mind of God, the wisdom of God, the wisdom of the cross. Satan would want to test us. The thinking of Satan is, no, that can't be. Doesn't make sense. Just worship me and I'll give it all to you quick and easy. You can have it the same result. You can be like gods. You want to be like gods? Well, here it is. Right? Jesus says something similar to those two apostles who want to sit on the throne with him. Can you drink the chalice that I'm going to drink? That's going to be the path. It is the triumph of the cross, right? Patiently, lovingly embracing the cross. That's the message of our Lord, the message of Jesus. Whoever wishes to come after me, it's going to imply denying yourself, especially that part of you that would say, no, can't be, God forbid. That purification of our will, uniting to God's will, is going to be part of it. Take up the cross, follow me. If you want to save your life, there will be a losing of that desire to dominate, to control, to fit God's will into mine. That will be a certain death and a loss. But if you're willing to accept these minor losses, this conformity to my will, this understanding my mind, there's life on the other side. There's resurrection. There's gospel. If we make that act of faith in Christ. And then the last thing I'd like to say, because very much of what I've said up till now seems like it's our work. Like this is what we have to do. Understand the mind of God and take it on. Brothers and sisters, a beautiful truth in our baptism. We've been baptized into Christ. Christ is in us. The life of grace is in us. He's already doing that. He's already united us to this truth, to this reality. He's come inside us and alongside us, and even through the Eucharist, reconfirms that on a daily, if we come to communion daily, a weekly basis. He's living that mystery already within us. So it's not necessarily something we got to go struggle to do, although there is struggle involved. But it's more a letting the Lord reconquer our hearts and conform us to him from within in a certain way. It's another way to look at it. Not just us having to conquer this, but the Lord through his grace, overcoming, persuading, like he did with Peter, challenging, teaching, and leading. And he can realize that victory in us, that triumph of the cross in our own minds and hearts. So this is a moment of truth in Jesus's ministry. It's an important fulcrum moment for his apostles to understand this, because if they don't, and as they live these next weeks and months with him, they'll be confused, discouraged, angry, and they run the risk of leaving, right? And he wants to prepare them to understand the mind of God so that they're living these mysteries. They can see what God is doing, like Our Lady, understand it, be certainly sorrowful, certainly experience our hearts being pierced, but always there, always at the foot of the cross, the first to experience him in the resurrection, the one who can gather those who are discouraged afterwards, the one who really captures this mystery and understands it, becomes then the real rock of the church, Peter and Our Lady. So let's pray for that grace for ourselves. I know each one of you, as you're listening to these truths, as it's such a fundamental truth and such a difficult one for our human nature, lots of questions pop, lots of what about this, what about that, possible to answer them all in one homily. But the fundamental mystery is this: the cross is our victory. Embracing and understanding and adhering to the mind of God is beautiful, is life-giving. There is the beginning of the resurrection that Jesus offers us. Amen.